A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Oh, it's good to be back, ladies and gentlemen, here. Welcome back to Sports Talk here. Last week off, we talked about the Kings a couple weeks ago. So this week, there's a lot of good stuff going on. I have Allie Franks, former Enterprise High School basketball player, currently now at Dixie State. She'll be coming in next segment in her junior year. And then I'll have some good debate with Sam Kamenthe coming on in the third and fourth segment. He's going to tell me why Jimmy Garoppolo is overrated, and I'm going to gravely disagree. You know, Jared, I woke up this morning. It's the first time I woke up and just actually was excited to get out of bed. And I said, I think it's because I'm very excited about this show today. Have you ever had that? You just wake up and you just have a lot of energy? Does that ever happen for you?
Oh, it does. Just not this morning.
Just not this morning? I think it might have been because I had the Colt 45s game off last night. So Mike Epler did a good job at the game last night. We'll be back at it again tonight. I want to start with this. I read an article this week and by Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, one of my favorite sports writers. Kind of does more of a columnist. I really shouldn't say sports writer. He's been kind of negatively criticized a little bit recently by people in Boston. But he came out with a story talking about Major League Baseball. And the Red Sox just won a game. The Red Sox have been doing great. But what he was saying is that even though the Red Sox might be doing well, baseball is not. Major League Baseball is scared, and I've brought this up many times in this show. I've been scrutinized for it by people on Twitter. But here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make more changes than they've had before. Typically, if you think things are going well, you don't try to make any changes, right? If your business is doing well, you try to keep doing what you're doing. Now, you've got to evolve a little bit as a business, and Major League Baseball is trying to do that, which means that they know that they have a problem. The problem isn't going to affect them right now. The problem is going to affect them in 10 to 15 years. It's called America's pastime. What is the average age of a baseball fan? I tell you, it's not young. A lot of baseball fans are older. They can sit through those long, long games. The average, I have a bunch of statistics here. The average time between ball and play in Major League Baseball this year is 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So, 3 minutes, almost 4 minutes, the average age of baseball fans is 53 years old. Imagine that. What happens when those average age, so a lot of that is dragging people, so a lot of 60, 70, 80 year olds are baseball fans. What happens when, unfortunately, those fans eventually die? Then you're going to have these younger fans, right? Well, the problem is these younger fans aren't watching baseball. They're watching the sports where you don't have to wait 4 minutes for some sort of action. And that's the problem that's taking place. Launch angle's been a problem in baseball this year and last year. There's more strikeouts, less balls in play, which means there's less action. 21 of 30 teams' attendance are down this year. 21 of 30. It's the lowest attended game since 2003. How do Major League Baseball make their money? They make it at TV. It's the same way all professional sports make their money. And the ratings are actually decent right now. But my point is as we creep further and further into the future, younger baseball fans don't exist as much as they used to. They just don't. They're watching football. They're watching basketball. They're watching esports, which I can't figure out, but evidently that's a big hit. Launch angle has created less balls in play. Basically, what launch angle is instead of trying to hit base hits, what you're trying to do is hit a home run every time. So there's more strikeouts. Less balls in play because there are more strikeouts. The strikeouts to hits ratio is higher than it's ever been. And it's a problem. Major League Baseball knows that it's a problem. Rob Manfred has said many times that the fact that this launch angle has become such a huge thing in the MLB, it's creating longer pauses in play because we don't have any balls hit on the ground. We don't have typical fly balls. We don't have as much of that. 3 minutes and 45 seconds. As a marketer and advertiser, they tell you to try to have your clips at a minute to 2 minutes long, probably less for the younger crowd because their attention spans are shorter. So that's a problem for Major League Baseball. They're struggling to get that younger audience. Yeah, it's always good to bring your son or daughter to a baseball game. It's always fun. But does it really matter to them until it's playoff time? Does it? I don't think it does as much. As a baseball fan who loves baseball, I struggle to watch the games now. I have to have a different channel on in between because sometimes the games just get terribly boring and long. And I don't even think I have that short of attention span. I think it's just the way baseball has now changed. So they got to figure out what to do here. Launch angle is kind of a problem. Rob Manfred, the MLB commissioner, is aware of this. I just think that we as baseball fans, and a lot of baseball fans, typically older baseball fans, disagree with me on this. Ah, the game's fine. The game is fine. We don't have to worry about a thing. Really? Really? I go to Colt 45's game a lot. You want to tell me the average age of a Colt 45's fan? It's probably above 53. There's not too many young kids going to the game, specifically to watch the game. Now, the Colt 45's do a good job of putting on games for the kids in between innings and stuff, but Major League Baseball, there's really not that. You kind of got to sit there and watch the game. Now, again, you got the atmosphere and the environment that helps and the food. All that helps, but you don't have these typical young baseball fans. And not only is it going to hurt Major League Baseball, it's going to hurt youth baseball. It's just going to trickle all the way down because fewer kids are going to be wanting to play baseball because if you don't watch baseball on TV and you're not a baseball fan, you won't play it as a youth sport. You might play a different sport as far as basketball or football, really flag football. I think football is kind of around the same thing at the younger age because of the CTE stuff. But Dan Shaughnessy wrote a terrific article on it. If you haven't seen it, I retweeted it earlier this week, at Connor Sutton. It's very, very interesting. And that's the problem is a lot of people are just not aware of what's going on. And more media members that I have seen in the last couple months are saying things similar to what I'm saying. Baseball is becoming less and less relevant in our society today. Think about it. We are in prime baseball season for sports talk, sportscasters. Prime baseball season. Go watch a sports show, a national sports show. How often are they talking about baseball? They're not. They're not. More than often, they're talking about NBA free agency, LeBron to the Lakers. That happened a couple weeks ago. We'll talk about that later. DeMarcus Cousins to the Warriors. What does that mean for the NBA? NFL's coming up. Let's talk more about what's happening in an offseason. In an offseason where only moves are happening than what is happening in the actual season of Major League Baseball. It's honestly sad. This time of the year used to be grand baseball time. In the last 3 to 5 years, we've seen it evolve away into more about the offseasons for the two other sports, which are much bigger. And not only is Major League Baseball losing right now to basketball and football as far as ratings-wise, to me, you got to be starting to worry about hockey. You got to worry about soccer because those are sports where something's happening all the time. What minor league baseball has done where they have a pitching clock is something Major League Baseball has to incorporate. I know they're testing out in minor leagues, but basically you have Between every pitch, you have a clock of how long you can step off. I know they've done a good job with mound visits. I don't think that's cut a whole lot of time out. But I'm not the guy they need to worry about. They need to worry about someone younger than me. What is going to draw your attention? More balls in play. 3 minutes and 45 seconds. The average age of a baseball player is 53 years old. 53 years old. I wonder what the average age of a basketball player is. Jared, can you look that up for me if you got a sec?
And we're talking basketball fans.
Just
not
general.
Players.
Average age of basketball fans, yes. Did I say players?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, basketball fans. Because it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot lower. The problem is it's America's pastime. It's the beloved sport. I just worry. I'm worried about Major League Baseball. I'm worried about youth baseball in America. So, all right, coming up next, we'll have Allie Franks on the show, the former Enterprise High School women's basketball player. You got that average age for me?
37.
37. A 16 years difference. That is very different. And I know a lot of youth that are big into basketball. So that's a pretty easy answer of where these two sports are heading. All right, coming up next, Allie Franks, current Dixie State women's basketball player, former Enterprise girls basketball player. She'll be coming on the show. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to segment two here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Hope I didn't offend too many people that last segment. All right, Allie Franks, former Enterprise basketball player here out of Reading and also now at Dixie State. You're coming in, what, your junior year?
Yes, I will be a junior.
Wow. Welcome to the show, by the way. Thank you. I've been trying to have you on for like a month. Your schedule's been just ridiculously difficult. All right, so I have a number of questions for you. I've mentioned you before. You play in high school, you transition into a college player. What is that transition like? Because obviously high school basketball is very different, especially, I mean, not only skill level-wise, but just the way you have to prepare. There's a lot more scouting involved. It becomes a little more centered of your life. So what's the main difference for you? Let's go basketball-wise first. On the court-wise, what's the main difference?
I'd say you have fun in high school. Like, you wake up and you just get it. It's like pickup every day. In college, like, everyone is as good as you, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, walking into the court every day just at practice, you're around people that, I mean, make you look slower. Like, you're one step behind. I think going into that my freshman year, I was like, oh, gosh, what did I get myself into? Like, I'm not the best. I can't, you know, almost show up to I can't almost show up to a game, almost show up to practice. Like, that's...
So you have to bring it every single day.
You have no excuse either.
So does that make you work? I mean, so it's kind of personality types, but I would assume just because I know you, I think that would make you work harder, get in the weight room more, be in better condition. Did that help you a lot?
Oh, yeah. Well, on top of that, you have three-hour practice, hour and a half lift, and on that, you have to get in your own shots, get in your own conditioning.
Right.
Like, you have no time but work.
So it feels like almost like a job, and I've said this before on this show, that college athletes have one of the hardest things to do in the world, and nowadays that people are saying, oh, you got to be a student athlete, you got to get good grades, and you have to be able to make money on the side, but somewhat, because you have to be able to live. So I want to hear about more of the off-court changes for you. As far as you're mentally preparing, has that changed for you at all? Have you had to play with, okay, I got to play with a chip on my shoulder, or am I going to play with a smile on my face? How has that changed for you at all, or has it?
Okay, yeah, it definitely has changed, because there's been games in the beginning where, like, I wasn't fully ready at the start, and your butt's going to be sat on the bench, and my coach will look at me and said, you're not ready to play, and you don't get a second chance. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not high school anymore. Like,
right.
I'm an adult. It's my job, and he fully treats us that way. And then I'd say just preparing for a game is you have to know, like, it's time to work. You have to have that chip on your shoulder. I honestly can say I don't smile as much in a game just because the focus is so much different now. Like,
so intense, yeah.
It's so intense. It's good intense, but there's not a time where you can, you know, just sneak in a laugh. You
right.
know, it's like you get your butt back on defense.
I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't know. They haven't experienced this, the college game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize how intense it is. And to the people at the time, when you're on the court, it's the most important thing by far, correct?
Yeah.
So how do you – okay, so say it's a – what's the difference between a game day for you and a non-game day? So how do you mentally prepare? Give me your pregame – do you have a routine you go through? Do you have the same Subway sandwich? What is it that you do?
So my coach always said celebrate game day. So if that means making a pancake or having your favorite cereal for breakfast, you do it. He's like, I don't care if it's unhealthy. You celebrate. You only get so many.
Okay.
So that means I get a waffle with not sugar-free syrup for breakfast. And then I'll wake up, do that. I'll go to shoot around. And then I don't let myself sleep before because you have like an hour and a half. I'll like lay down 45 minutes, get up, and I get their extra time before warm-ups to shoot.
I've heard some sports psychologists saying that visualizing things before the game is huge.
Yes.
Do you do anything like that?
So that's why I don't sleep. I lay in bed and I picture myself hitting the game winning shot. You know, I picture myself good crossover behind the back pull up. Like, I imagine myself taking over the game.
What I think a lot of people don't realize, and it happens in everything that is people want to do. So, for instance, if you want to be a college basketball player, they want to be on the court in college. However, a lot of times they don't realize what it takes. Same thing with sportscasters. I have a lot of people tell me, oh, I want to do broadcasting. And they don't understand that you have to prepare 3 hours for a game, and they don't understand that. What would you say to a high schooler or a middle schooler who wants to play in college? What advice would you have for them?
Work. Because there's, like, if you don't put in the time, it's going to show in the game. If someone, you know, can out-condition and out-beat you, no one's going to look at you. Like, it's all about your effort. I mean, that's all coaches, like, care about is your effort. You have to be able to give it all and more.
Have you seen, in the NBA, we've seen the three-point shot become really prevalent. I know you're a three-point shooter. You just mentioned to me 37% last year, which is fantastic. Have you seen the three-point shot become more and more used in women's basketball as well at the college level?
Oh, goodness. Personally, our team is live or die by the three.
Okay.
That's our offense. You get into the post, if they don't have a look, it's kick out. You take a drive, jump stop, kick out. I have heard jump stop, kick out more times in the past 2 years than I ever have in my life. It's like, it's our offense philosophy.
So have you seen, nowadays when you go into like a YMCA, I know you're in the gym a lot, so you have to see younger kids. Do you notice now that they're no longer shooting inside the three-point line? It's almost always a three-pointer because that's what Steph Curry is doing. That's what the best players who are magnified around the United States. Does that scare you, though, a little bit for the future of basketball? Because nowadays people don't care about a mid-range jump shot. They don't really care about getting into the paint as much anymore.
Oh, yeah, because like, I think if you have a mid-range pull-up, you're going to be one of the best players there can be. No one can stop a three-point shooter and a mid-range pull-up. You take that away, okay, someone puts a hand in your face, your game's over.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be so much more to your game than a three-pointer. And I think if people don't realize that and work on that, the game's not going to be how it is.
What was the main thing that you realized you needed to work on when you got into college?
Contact. I was so scared of contact. It didn't help going to my sophomore year. I got my front teeth knocked out from trying to be a big player. But, I mean, if you can't take contact and you can't finish, there's not a chance you're going to survive.
Wow. So you got your teeth knocked out.
Yeah. Well, they were just dangling there, my front two teeth. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. What about positionless basketball, too? Because it's the same thing right now. There's no real positions. I mean, kind of a point guard, maybe a center. Are you seeing that more teams at your level, and it's NCAA Division II, and you guys are switching conferences issues, right? We've talked about
that. Yeah. We're going to go to the RMAC, and then hopefully by next July, we're going to try to get to the WAC.
Okay. So, positionless basketball. Are you seeing less centers, more forwards and guards in the women's basketball level as well?
Yeah. So, actually, you have a center, I'd say, a point guard. Two, three, and four, goodness, they're the same.
So, does that make that means that I'm assuming you are two, three, or four, just watching you play.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you and I can have to guard somebody who's either extremely fast or is really good in the post. So, does that have to, that must mean you have to prepare even more. And not only that, scouting-wise, you have to know what player which comes out the bench has to do more. So explain that and how much preparation does actually go into all that.
Yeah, so scouting in the college world will save your life. Like, you know, okay, if I'm guarding 12 and she's the 3, okay, she's faster first step, you know you got to have a step off her. Okay, let's say 34 comes in the game, that's their 4, okay, she has 20 pounds on me. All my coach says, use your speed on her. Like, she's going to post me up. She's going to one step push me out. I have to either front her or just be as fast as I can. You just have to know, match the numbers with their game and remember it.
All right. Do you smack talk at all? I feel
like
you're too nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Good. So I'm a big fan
either
of smack talk.
Either they're going to eat you alive or you have to play with
right,
it.
Right, absolutely. So I used to do this thing when I played years ago. But I used to do this thing where if I was coming off a screen or I was getting posted up, I would elbow the crap out of whoever it was. Does that still happen? Are those little things where you try to get into somebody's head as much as possible? Does that still happen?
Oh, yeah. It depends, like, on the player. We don't have a lot of players that do it, but we have just enough.
Because if you have too many, you're going to have a fight and the benches are going to clear.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to have, to me, you have to have that tough player who will be willing to do that and then also stand up for your teammates as well.
Yeah.
Are you that player or no?
Oh, I got my teammates back 100%.
Oh, yeah? Oh, wow.
They
okay.
don't have to even do the talking.
So that's you? All right. But what about when a player talks to you? I'm fascinated with just, like, psychology in sports. When a player talks smack to you and says, oh, you can't do this, what does that make you want to do? For me, it was always, oh, you're about to see what I can do.
Oh, yeah.
Very
no.
similar?
You get it, and, like, they say that, like, all right, watch this.
Yeah.
And, like, it wouldn't even matter, like, if I were to tell my coach, like, coach, I need this play, and you tell him why, it's like, oh, you go do your thing, Allie.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
He gets it.
So, in your first 2 years, you actually have done a lot of great threes. 37% from three is unbelievable. What's your goal for this upcoming year?
Like, percentage-wise?
Just in general. You can give me any of them. It can be points per game. It can be whatever it is. You guys win a conference championship. It can be school. I'm just curious as to, I know you're a goal-oriented person, so I'm curious as to what your main goals are for this upcoming year.
Okay, so to start, all my percentages, I want up 10. You're asking 47 from the three. I can do 47 from the three. Wins, we're going to get a conference championship. There's no excuse for us not to. And in the school, just shoot 4.0, because school is what matters anyways.
That's incredible. Well, you were one of the most competitive people I've ever met in my entire life, and I love it. I love having you on the show. So please come back anytime because I could talk to you all day about basketball. Allie Franks, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with Sam Comente. He's going to tell me why Jimmy Garoppolo is overrated. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with Care Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. Care Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Free Fire Radio on Friday, July 20th, right here on KCNR.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Locally owned KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, is also home to local programming and local sports. Mondays at 6 p.m., Radio Wasteland explores the mysteries all around us with a team of researchers who dig deep into the unseen world. Thursdays at 6, it's Chris and Jen Gomez keeping you up on pop culture and entertainment with We're a Little Behind, KCNR, where you also get local high school football, basketball, and, of course, baseball with the Reading Colt 45s. KCNR 1460.
Welcome back, folks. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Allie Franks with some fantastic stuff. I could talk basketball with her all day. She's very talented and also has an unbelievable competitive side that is incredible to see. All right, Sam Comente is coming on, is on our show now. Sam, you mentioned to me a couple weeks ago that you think Jimmy Garoppolo is overrated. Is that what you said to me? You can What did you say?
I said Jimmy Garoppolo is overrated. Now,
okay.
Hang on.
Let me begin. All right. So you think Jimmy Garoppolo is overrated, which is fine. He's only played in 6 games, correct? 7? How many? 8 games?
He played 2 with the Niners and 5. Or excuse me, 5 with the Niners, 2 with the Patriots, and he got hurt.
All right. So first off, my only thing that I want to preface all this is he might be the most beautiful man I've seen in my entire life.
I was going to preface it with the same thing, actually. It's kind of funny. He is a gorgeous human being.
He seriously is.
And I have a friend who said you cannot make it as a franchise quarterback in the NFL if you're not a good-looking guy. And I honestly think looking around the NFL.
I haven't thought about that, but that's a good point.
Where's there an ugly quarterback? I don't know.
Peyton Manning had a big forehead.
That's true. And the Mannings aren't, like, good-looking,
no.
But they're not.
They're kind of like a dorky guy, you know?
Yeah, they're the dude in the hall that, yeah. You know, it's just kind of weird.
Like they're like, jeans might be a little bit above the waist.
Yeah.
And their pant legs don't all the way go down all the way to their shoes.
They never miss science class. Yeah. They love biology.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I want you to tell me why Jimmy Garoppolo is, in your mind, overrated. I agree that the contract was huge, but you have to pay a franchise quarterback big money. Just how it is. All right. Go ahead.
I honestly root for Jimmy G because he is an Italian. I think he's the only Italian quarterback in the NFL, and I'm Italian, Sam Clemente. So I, of course... I'll say my name in case people don't know. Of course I want him to do well. It's just that I hear people talk about, and this is writers on NFL.com, professional writers, saying that they think the Niners are a Super Bowl contender. And I saw that, and this was a couple months ago. It's kind of calmed now. This was like in March, and my jaw hit the floor. I was like, are we really going to call the Niners a Super Bowl team? This is year two of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, which is supposed to be a rebuilding period. Rebuilding now. It's going to up the ante a little because you have a quarterback,
for sure.
Of course. But I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, especially in the NFC, with how many good teams there are in the NFC. Two big things that I think make him a little overrated is, of course, it's a small sampling size. A good analogy I'll make is Matt Flynn was a quarterback that came in behind Aaron Rodgers and just tore apart teams. And I think he played 2 games in a row, and he had like 5 touchdowns in 1 game. And he looked great.
He had 7 in 1 game.
And he had 7 in 1 game. Yeah. I mean, he went ballistic. And they're like, wow, look at this guy. And then I remember my Raiders traded for him. And I was like, sweet, this dude's probably going to be a stud. You know, he tore it up. He looked really good with Green Bay. There's a reason why he's a backup. There's a reason why he looks so good, given that nobody had any film on him. So,
right. You're saying the same thing for Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm saying it's not eerily similar, but Jimmy G's not going to surprise anyone this year. Not this year. They have film on him. They're not going to be digging through those 20 plays he ran in New England, 20
right.
throwing plays. They're going to have more on him. And also, you got to look at his stats. 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. That's an interception a game. Obviously, I don't think he's going to throw an interception every game. But over a 16-game season, that ratio is not very good. Neither is the passer rating. 95, I think it was. That's okay. That's not great.
Also, he was brand new in Kyle Shanahan's system. So
yes.
There's
the counterpoint.
Let me give you the count. Yeah, let me give you my counterpoint, which I'm sure you're already ready for. The NFC West isn't very good this year. I think the Rams had a really easy schedule last year. They're going to have a tougher schedule this year. They're good. I get it. They're good.
They're great. They have the potential to be a great team.
Yes, absolutely. The Seattle Seahawks aren't going to be very good as well this year. They might be at 8-8, 9-7 team, depending on what happens.
I want to hear what you say about the Cardinals, though.
The Cardinals are going to be better than they were last year, for sure.
I like the Cardinals quite a bit.
And I think what a lot of those riders that you mentioned earlier, I think the Niners are that team that a lot of times we see in the NFL, and we see it in the NFL more than we see in any other sport, where you'll have the worst team in the league, in the division, excuse me. The next year, because they have that really easy schedule, they'll jump up and win 10 to 11 games.
This is the Raiders in 2016.
Exactly. So, and the Eagles not exactly did that, but something similar to that, where that's a very tough division in the NFC East. They come out and they dominate because they have such a good team. They put together a lot of free agents. The Niners have had a lot of good signings, in my opinion. I like Jerick McKinnon a lot. We've not really had a good running back ever since Frank Gore. You can say we had Kendall Hunter, who was okay. We had, who's the guy we just let go?
Who's the guy you just let go?
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde, yeah. So
is he a good running back, though? I have to ask you about that because that's one of my points. Jeremy McKinnon's a pass-first running back. He is not a run-first running back.
But
he never has been. So that's what concerns me. Carlos Hyde was a good runner.
Think about
downhill.
Kyle Shanahan's last year with the Falcons when they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt Ryan, who I would argue is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, had a great year under Kyle Shanahan. They have a couple running backs that they kind of played with.
Devontae Freeman.
And they had
Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman. They had two guys, thank you. So they kind of used them both. Now, my thought process is, and you have two good running backs, not great, you're better off than giving a guy 30 times a game.
So it's going to be McKinnon and Matt Breida, who's the other running back?
That's the guy we just drafted.
I think it's Breida or Joe. They didn't draft one in this year's draft. You mean last year?
No, I'm too. Am I trying to think of? I don't know. I have to.
I know the running backs. I mean, I'm not a Niner fan, but of course I come and do my research. So you got Joe Williams, who missed all of last season.
So my point is that I don't think that having a non-running running back is going to hurt them a whole lot because I think they're going to throw quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think
I would argue that.
I think we have an underrated wide receiver group. Pierre Garçon played pretty well last year. And the thing is Kyle Shanahan is kind of a revolutionist offensively. Like, we don't know what he's going to do every time.
Right.
He'll go out and make plays that you would be shocked by. So I think that while all those points you said are very true, the Niners are definitely a sleeper team.
No, I agree.
Possibly. So that's my counterpoint to what you said.
And I have even more that I could dig into. But like
I would like to hear. I would like to hear the more advanced stuff.
The more advanced stuff is that I do like the NFC West, as the Rams are a great team that you would argue with what they did last offseason, this offseason, should be even better. Should be a really, really good team, especially offensively, where they have weapons galore.
Right.
The Cardinals were a team that I honestly thought had a very good team the past couple of years, good roster. They just didn't have a quarterback. Carson Palmer was overrated and got hurt. Now they have a lot of options. My point I'm getting to is this division honestly isn't as poor as you might think it is. Even the Seahawks, with all this turnover, I never discount Russell Wilson ever. Ever. And then you have Earl Thomas on the defensive side still. So the NFC West is still not going to be a pushover. And then what you were saying about the receiving core, it is an underrated receiving core. It is a speed receiving core. There is no size on that receiving core, which is something that kind of concerns me when you face a team that has...
No, I agree.
Has speed on their defense.
Yeah, speed at the receiving core doesn't really matter. If you have a speed guy, I saw a stat about a year ago of players or teams that have a speed guy as their number one receiver. None of them made the playoffs. So I think speed matters.
They don't have size. I just don't know who's their big body guy. Who's the guy Jimmy's going to throw up to in the red zone?
I mean, it's going to have to be the tight end, right?
It's going to be, and I don't even really know who their tight end is.
They traded Vance McDonald, right?
Yes. I think it's George Kittle is the name of their tight end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and that's cool. That's a cool name. He went to Iowa. He sounds like
he's a Hawkeye. Or my boss Tom Galbraith would be. And I'm talking about him right now.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, I agree. Jimmy Garoppolo he was overpaid, but you have to overpay for quarterbacks nowadays, for franchise quarterbacks, because they're so prevalent and you can't get them very often.
But is he a franchise quarterback after that many games?
He was trained under Tom Brady. Have you seen the mic'd up?
They
did?
Yeah.
And he sounds just like Tom Brady. He was trained by the greatest quarterback of all time, basically. Okay, so think about, it's a very similar situation to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
But Brett Favre, we know.
Was pushed out.
Brett Favre didn't help Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, right. You ask Aaron Rodgers, how much did Brett Favre tell you? Nothing.
Yeah, but you're right, but you can watch and you can
And
kind
I think
of,
that's what you mean. He wasn't really trained by Tom Brady, he was gifted the presence of Tom Brady up close.
That's just as important. Yeah. Think about how many coaches in this league under Bill Belichick, under Greg Popovich have now left and been successful. It's just you mimic things, and that when you mimic the greatest of all time, you're probably going to be pretty damn good. I'm not saying that he's going to be MVP this year. I'm saying it's going to be the first franchise quarterback we've had since Alex Smith the last 2 years. Maybe Colin Kaepernick in the first 2 years that he took over.
And I do understand, because I am a Raider fan and I'm naturally just optimistic about everything. The Niners, what bothers me and what I can still at the same time understand is that, you know, you get a good quarterback who tears it up, who blows away the league in the final five games, which the fifth game against the Rams, I don't really count that. I should be 4-0. You played the Rams third stringers.
And same thing with the Jaguars, too.
I mean, bravo. Beating the Titans is really good. I watched that game. It was like Christmas Eve or something around then, and he did a really good job. But no, my point is I just want Niner fans out there. And I know if there's people listening in right now, they're going to be a Niner or Raider fan probably.
Right.
Pump the brakes a little bit. Just pump the brakes. Yeah. Let Jimmy G play a full 16-game season, which he's never done in his career.
Yes.
And maybe at the end of this year, if Jimmy G balls out again, then I have nothing to say.
Have you heard my nickname for him? I'm taking what Bill Simmons said. Have you heard the nickname for him?
No.
Jimmy Jesus?
Jimmy Jesus? Well, he is Jesus to the Niner fans, yeah.
He is very good looking.
Yes.
I got to bring that. Just, he's...
Well, we should cut the break before Connor starts salivating here.
No, he's just... Hey, I have very secure myself where I can say he's a very good looking dude. I think he could have a bad year this year. I wouldn't even care just because...
You take his helmet off, you throw an interception, you'd be like, ah, oh, well, look at him.
Oh, yeah, he's... Anyway, so...
Forgiven.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, joking aside, we haven't had a franchise quarterback that we can lean on. I mean, you could say Alex Smith, you could say Colin Kaepernick the first season, but really it hasn't been since Steve Young.
I mean, in terms of a pure passer,
yeah,
I wouldn't
Jeff
call
Garcia.
Alex Smith a pure passer. Alex, I wouldn't call Colin Kaepernick a pure passer.
Maybe Jeff Garcia, but he wasn't very good.
He had his time. Jeff Garcia is one of the most interesting quarterbacks in history. But yeah. No, I agree. This is the most excited you could be about the quarterback position.
And 49ers fans have kind of been, we've been waiting for a couple years now. I mean, we were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago against the Ravens. That was a while ago, though. I know, we haven't been like, we're not the Browns.
You're not the Raiders either, man. That's what bums me out, is these Niners fans are like, oh, we've waited so long.
No, I'm not saying
waited
that.
Like 3 years.
I'm not, believe me, we're both Kings fans. I know what waiting,
yeah,
I know
I've
what waiting
waited since
like.
2003 as a Raider fan.
Well, you guys have won a Super Bowl since we have.
The Raiders haven't won a Super Bowl in, pretty much.
How long?
Earlier, the 80s. Their last Super Bowl win was probably 83 or something around there. They were in the Super Bowl in 2002.
2002, yeah. I forgot that against the Buccaneers, right?
And John Gruden killed us.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm going to ask about what you think about John Gruden when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about the Raiders, John Gruden, and we'll talk about a little NBA free agency stuff as well. That's going to be on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In a 5-4 decision, the United States Supreme Court recently ruled unconstitutional a California law that required pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise where women can get a free or low-cost abortion. This law compelled pro-life clinics to post a large pro-abortion sign in their waiting rooms, and if they didn't, they would face large fines. Well, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote that this requirement chills protected speech. The lesson from the court is simple. Government compelling speech you don't believe in is not free speech at all.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 3 here with Sam Comente. We talked a little Jimmy Garoppolo.
Really good show.
No, I can talk about Jimmy Garoppolo all day. Talked about a little bit about baseball and my concerns with the future of it. First segment, Ali Franks come on. Second segment, now Sam Comente on here again for the fourth segment. All right, so you're a Raider fan. What's your opinion on John Gruden? I think John Gruden has a similar Jimmy Garoppolo effect where he is overhyped. What would you say to that?
I would say that for Raider fans, it's kind of the Jimmy G equivalent, where here's a guy that we figure as our savior. The only thing that I'd argue with John Gruden is a lot of people are you know, dumbing down the hype on it, which is fair. I just think if you're a Raider fan, and it's kind of similar with you saying about a Niner fan, you haven't seen a quarterback like this in a while. We haven't seen a coach like this in a while. A coach that can connect to his players as well as he can. A true X's and O's guys. Because while I like Jack Del Rio, and he brought us to the playoffs, anyone that was a Raider fan knew the guy didn't really know what he was talking about. He was the Pete Carroll. Like, let's go, guys! And everyone's like, sure. And then they just kind of play for him.
Can I make the comparison to Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr a little bit? Mark Jackson brought the team to the playoffs.
We like that. I like that comparison.
Yeah.
Because it's true. It's because Mark Jackson's the same kind of thing as Jack Del Rio. It's like, wasn't really an X's and O's guy.
Right.
But he was good with these young kids.
There's a reason why Mark Jackson hasn't gotten another job.
But
my fear is that, well, first off, I'm going to miss John Gruden on the broadcast because I think John Gruden's fantastic.
I love John Gruden.
But at the same time, he's been out of football for how long?
He's been out of football since,
coaching-wise.
Yeah, since he got fired in 08 after he lost to the Raiders. It was ironic that happened.
So it's been 9 years.
But that's the thing is, it's not like some guy used a comparison where Joe Gibbs, when he came back to football because he was a Redskins coach, this is going way back.
Right.
He went to NASCAR and then came back and they were saying, you know, it took him a while. Well, yeah, he went to a completely different sport in NASCAR and did that. John Gruden has never left football. Anyone that knows John Gruden knows this dude has never stopped with his football in terms of Monday Night Football, checking other teams. He had the FFAA, FCAA, the Fired Coaches Association of America or something like that. He would still get up at 3 in the morning and study film. I don't know what team.
I get you.
My point is, yes, he hasn't coached. He hasn't had this headset on in 9 years.
Okay.
He's still been in football.
Last time I rode a bike, I was 14 years old. I rode it again when I was 22. I completely forgot how to do it. I couldn't, like, turn. I could stand up. But I just couldn't ride a bike well. That's my point is...
You know that's the exact opposite of what people say. You never forget how to ride a bike.
I know it is. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, I...
This just sounds like you problem.
That could be. But my point is, you don't do something for 8 years. I don't care what it is. I don't care how often you do it. It's different from coaching.
No, I agree.
Maybe watching film might be similar, but I'm saying it's different from coaching. It's different from interacting with players in a coaching manner. Now, that being said, I'm really just going to miss John Gruden on the Corona commercials, one.
Yes.
And two, on the
Gruden Grinders.
Yes, and on all of his stuff, the quarterback camp, all that type of stuff. So, but you're saying that now Derek Carr's healthy.
Derek Carr's never had a coach like this.
Derek Carr's not that good.
Yeah,
and I'm a Fresno State guy.
I'm not going to go down this road with you. Derek Carr is one of only four quarterbacks, I think, in NFL history to throw over 100-plus touchdown passes in four years.
That's a tainted stat that is geared towards
It's not a tainted stat because the other players in that category are like Peyton Manning, Dan Marino. My thing with Derek Carr is he is a polarizing figure a little bit just because he's kind of been up and down. The guy's never had inconsistency. He has had three different offensive coordinators. He was a part of the Raiders team that was on 0-10 his first year. His first year was horrible. His second year was not much better. And it was really 2016 where finally he had the same offensive coordinator back-to-back years. He had an offensive core that was really good. Amari Cooper had finally burst on the scene. It all clicked in 2016, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, Jack Del Rio says, let's get rid of that offensive coordinator, and let's change things up. That was the stupidest thing Jack Del Rio did in his tenure.
He got fired.
And exactly. I think he would still be the head coach today if that offensive coordinator was still the offensive coordinator.
And now you can make this point as well. Derek Carr didn't have a very good year last year, did he?
He had a broken back in essence as well. He had two broken bones.
But also at the same time, how many passes did Amari Cooper drop last year?
Yeah.
He was horrific.
I think he led the league, Derek Carr, in receiving drops.
Yeah.
Like no one caught their ball.
I've said this many times. I think if a receiver drops the ball and ends up getting intercepted, it shouldn't be on the quarterback.
Yeah.
I've said that forever.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I want to shift gears a little bit to the NBA.
But can I say this real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
About John Gruden.
Yeah.
And I'm going to end it at this. I want the Raiders to make the playoffs, and I want them to be good. It wouldn't be a failed season if he did that, if they don't make playoffs. If they finish 8-8, 9-7, and Derek Carr and him connect, that's a win for me as a Raider fan. Because he's going to be there for a long time. There's no need to really
What did they pay him?
10 years, 100 mil. They wanted the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, like, we want to show we can be have continuity because the Niners obviously fired three coaches in 3 years.
Yeah.
So that was the whole plan. But my point is...
The Sacramento Kings effect?
Yeah.
Also, I like John Gruden because he can wear a visor really well.
No, what coach is out there wearing visors anymore?
I know, it's great.
I love it.
I'm a big visor fan.
Bring it back 1998.
I'm a big visor fan. Visor, yeah. I'm not a big fanny pack fan, but if you wear them together, I'm okay. All right, so Shifting gears now, NBA free agency. I haven't talked about this at all. LeBron to the Lakers. I've been so caught up with all this other stuff. LeBron to the Lakers, DeMarcus Cousins to the Warriors. We'll start with LeBron to the Lakers. I made this point to a couple friends recently that it is good for sports, although I'm not. I'm a LeBron fan, I should say. Not really a fan of him going to the Lakers. I don't really like the Lakers as a Kings fan. But I'm a fan of teams that are important in each sport being good. I want the Knicks to be good. I want the Lakers to be good. I want the Celtics to be good. Those are my main three teams that I care about being good in the NBA.
Is there history?
Historical.
Yeah.
They have big fan bases. It's good for the sport. For Major League Baseball, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Giants. Got to be good. Those four teams, I think, are the main four in the Major League Baseball. They need to be good. Same thing for football. If the Cowboys aren't good, it's just not as good for the NFL. So that being said, this move to the Lakers is going to help the NBA. It's going to kill the Cavaliers. Property values in Cleveland are going to plummet. And it's going to, but, you know, it's a part of life. Cleveland didn't bring in guys that they wanted. But the thing is what's strange to me, I figured when LeBron signed to the Lakers that he was going to want to bring in all these big-name guys, and they've done the exact opposite. Now, I don't know if it's because they haven't been able to bring in the guys. Paul George re-signed to the Thunder, which was kind of shocking. Kawhi Leonard is still stuck in this middle ground of San Antonio. We don't know where he's going to go.
Right.
And now they signed Rajon Rondo, they signed Lance Stephenson, they signed JaVale McGee. So, and they're going against probably the greatest collection of talent ever, and I said this last year about the Warriors, now they end DeMarcus Cousins.
They'll have DeMarcus for half the season. They're not going to have him for a while.
So people are freaking out about DeMarcus Cousins. So let's shift to that really quick. First off, DeMarcus Cousins signed a one-year deal. He's doing this to revitalize his career.
He's not going to be on Golden State next year.
I absolutely
agree. A 0% chance.
Absolutely. He's going to go, if they do get a ring, he's going to go get his ring. He's going to stop the haters saying isn't good in the playoffs. He's going to stop the haters about his Achilles that he tore this year. He's going to knock all that stuff about him being a head case. All that's going to go away if he does what he's supposed
to
do.
He's going to trick a team into giving him a lot of money.
Exactly.
Also, I think this might be the final run. This is my opinion about the Warriors and why they might have picked up DeMarcus, especially when they see LeBron join the Lakers. This might be their final hurrah because, to my recollection, Klay Thompson's a free agent after this year. Durant is as well. And there's talk that the reason why it's not good if you're a Warrior fan to keep seeing Kevin Durant do one-year deals. If he was Paul George in it and, you know, signing for 4 years saying, this is where I want to be, he's never said that. He's going to keep collecting his rings and keeping his options open, which eventually means he's going to go somewhere else. And Klay Thompson, I would not be shocked.
Thompson wants to be the guy.
Yeah,
right?
And I feel like he wants to not live in the shadow, of Steph Curry. And there's going to be a team that's going to come along and be like, hey, Klay, here's a max contract that we know Golden State can't give you. That's contracts for Steph Curry. And then there goes the word.
Obviously, it's between Klay and Draymond. Who's the guy you don't give a max to?
I think in the Warriors' mindset, they're giving the max to Draymond Green.
Really?
That's who they like more.
Give it to Klay.
I would give it to Klay, but I just don't think that
Klay.
There's a presence. Just an aroma about
when Klay goes to another team. We're gonna find out real quick. He's a defense and then a shooter. He can't dribble very well at all.
Why does he need to? He's catching everything off the
I'm just catching to be a well-rounded player. I'm just saying when he goes somewhere else, it's going to open our eyes. I've seen many times in the watching Warriors games where I'm just like, Klay Thompson cannot dribble. It's unbelievably shocking to me that's the case. But he has gotten better at going to the rim, so he's polished his game. But I'm just saying he's polished his game to be a number two or three on a team. He hasn't polished his game to be number one player. All right, we got 2 minutes left.
But the Lakers, yes. I got to say about this. There was a tweet that a guy sent out that said, LeBron said before the end of the season, wherever he goes, he wants to be surrounded by basketball guys. High IQ basketball players.
Well, after J.R. Smith, can you blame him?
But yeah, I get it. And then the Lakers go out and sign Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, and Lance Stephenson.
People think Rajon Rondo's a really smart basketball guy.
He's hard to work with. So I guess I'm going to discount him. JaVale McGee's a high IQ guy. Throw ball, get ball, dunk ball. That's JaVale McGee's. JaVale McGee's not a smart human being. And then Lance Stephenson's blowing on people.
Yes.
So LeBron.
On LeBron.
In practice.
Yeah. All right, so, but yes, all that is very true.
I don't get the team that they're building.
It's not either.
A team that's going to be the Warriors.
Oh, to me, that's why he signed a four-year deal. So he signs a four-year deal, and now the Lakers are like, okay, we don't have to go get anybody right now. He's going to be here for 4 years.
We'll be in the playoffs this year. We'll see what we can do with this group.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk more. We'll bring that up more next week. But I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff. We talked just a jam-packed show today. Our thanks, as always, to Jared King, our producer, who is the poor guy. He's had to listen to us all day. He and I will be back at it, Cole 45 tonight, 7:15. He'll be here in the studio. I'll be at the game. This has been Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Our favorite way to end the show is with a song that just brightens our mood. Thanks, guys.
I hopped up the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, except am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.